The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org. Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I'm your host, Jason, along with my good friend and co-host, Roger. And on this episode, we are going to consider really the topic of wisdom, particularly taking a look at some of the Proverbs in the Bible and thinking about how important wisdom is, especially for a day and a time like we're living in. And so hopefully that'll be a fruitful discussion. But first, I want to ask Roger questions as we get to know each other like we like to do. And this one's a little more on the serious. I was telling him I wanted to make him laugh with my question, but this is not one of those. But Roger, my question to you is, can you describe kind of the most fruitful times that you have in the Word? Like, what are some of the most fruitful times in the Word and time of devotion and prayer that kind of, where does that happen for you and how does that work for you?
Yeah, ever since I ended seminary and stopped with that structure, I had to think of how I was going to continue my devotions. And I've continued just daily reading through the Bible, which has been really helpful just to have that habit. And not every time is that great mountain peak time. It's just a daily diet. I think those times where I've had really fruitful is when I'm preparing a message and I'm really connecting it to my life, thinking about preaching to myself, not to those I'm preaching to. And when I start connecting that, it's just such a rich time for me. In prayer, my best times are when I'm isolated away from noise. So when I go on hikes and I am in nature and nobody's around but hearing birds chirping and on the top of a mountain, I can't explain those experiences. They just feel just so much connection with the Lord. My mind is clear. It's such a good time. But how about you?
Yeah. Similarly, I like to start my day in the Word, and I like to change things up kind of every year. So I try to do a different yearly routine, which might sound a little weird, but I try a different translation of Scripture each year, if I can. Just to read through Scripture from a little bit of a different lens, in a sense, depending on the translators, because there are some things that will come out a little bit differently. But the best and most fruitful times are when I have that significant amount of time in the Word in the morning, and then get to go out for a little walk for a time of prayer as well. I kind of like to be out and about, looking around at the, some of what God has created, but also thinking about my neighbors, thinking about the world around me and praying for them. And so I know everyone's got different habits, and it's good. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us exactly how we're to do this, but we just need to be filled with God's Word and spend time in prayer and seek His face. So it's good to kind of get a sense from others how they do it. Well, we're going to try to take a look at some Proverbs in this episode, Roger. And one of the reasons this came to mind, a couple of things were on my heart. One is how important wisdom is for our daily living and how much lack of wisdom I see around me. There's just so much lack of, we would say, common sense, lack of wisdom, even God's people not really understanding what the Scriptures are saying to us about the way we ought to live and the way we ought to interact with people, the way we even ought to watch the news and the way we ought to think about things like the pandemic around us. That was one part. The other part, honestly, Roger, is that you, as my dear brother, you seem so often to be filled with the Proverbs. And I have I'm going to call it a godly jealousy of you in that. Okay. It's not a bad kind of jealousy, Roger. It's a good kind of jealousy. but you've shown me the value of the Proverbs, because I know that they're near and dear your heart as well. And so I thought it'd be fun to think about these, think about some Proverbs, to think about the Proverbs in general and why they're so important for us. So let's start with this. What are the Proverbs, Roger? If you could try and define it, what would you say? What are the Proverbs in Scripture?
Yeah, if I simplify it, you know, starting with the Proverbs as part of the genre of wisdom literature in the Bible, we have other books, Ecclesiastes, we have Proverbs, or the wisdom literature. But the Proverbs are pithy statements. They're short, memorable statements of truth that are easy to memorize. There's a part where it's a father talking to a son, passing on the wisdom of how to live wise in a foolish world, and how to walk with the Lord in all the various aspects of life. And they're easy to grab onto because they are memorable, because sometimes you get these great pictures, these word pictures that stick in your mind. And that's why they are very useful in our day-to-day speech.
And something unique about the Proverbs, they're not this proclamation of truth per se, because there are some, you know, one proverb says, you know, answer a fool according to his folly, whereas the one right before it, I think, says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And so we've got to think carefully about them. So as one professor would always say, the Proverbs are a cross-section of truth, right? So that there are these proverbial sayings that teach us about this horizontal life that we're living, this wisdom that we're, or this life that we're living engaged with other people. Certainly it's vertically given. It's given by God, but each one kind of has so many different applications that we can think through. And if we meditate on them, you know, one professor of mine always said, don't read the Proverbs like any other book in Scripture. He said, you know, people say read a whole chapter of Proverbs a day. He said, I don't know about that. I think they should rather read one or two Proverbs and really meditate on them, because the implications and the application for their daily life can be so vast. And so let me ask you this question. Why do you, because I know you find them to be very important, so why do you think the Proverbs are so important, and why do you think they're so neglected?
I think they're so important because they teach us the truth about life. Yeah. They teach us the truth about wisdom. Now, sometimes we can look at them and think they're promises, and that if we just do what they say, then God's going to fulfill. But we can fall into a trap to think that God owes us something just when we read them, such as train up a child in the way and discipline the Lord and he'll follow. Not always the case. And so we can get our hope in the wrong place. But they lead us back to the Lord and how to live in this very broken, confused, mixed up world without having to think of a large section of Scripture. Just here's two lines. You can think about it for your day. You can apply it very quickly. And that's very helpful, instead of like a narrative where you have to mine out the truth and then apply it to life. Why they're neglected, I don't know. I mean, I guess I would say just in general, I think Scripture is neglected in our lives. We don't get enough of Scripture. I always tell the, you know, people when I talk to them, I say, if you're not reading the Word, you know, just, you know, do read a proverb a day. Just look at your calendar and just get some wisdom in you. And I found that, you can read one proverb and you're getting so much information, but take one of them and meditate and pray upon it. You know, and use that proverb, as your professor is saying, and mind that truth. But I think we just don't get enough of Scripture in general. And that's all of us that are not doing that. So maybe that's why they're neglected. And maybe it's just hard to understand sometimes. Like, there's pictures. And if you don't, you can't take it all literal, because you got to understand the word picture that's going on.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think sometimes they can be a little more challenging to understand. Which we can recommend some really good commentaries. There's some great commentaries on the Proverbs that we could certainly recommend. But I think another reason they're neglected, in all honesty, is that they're mundane, right? They're earthly. In some cases, they're ordinary, and people love the extraordinary. And this is there's a great book title. I think it was Eugene Peterson, A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. I think people neglect the Proverbs because you know, it may not give you that, I don't know, spiritual high in that moment. And it may not be used in that very moment. And so people may think, well, okay, what? Yeah, yeah, I know I shouldn't run after riches, but I don't run after riches. Okay. But then the time comes as you're beginning to think about your heart that you're like, whoa, maybe I am, you know? So I think that part of it is they don't see the practical benefit to each one today, even though it's in my mind, maybe the most practical of the books in scripture. But I guess, is there anything, you kind of addressed this already, but is there anything distinctive about the way we are to interpret the Proverbs? One thing you said, and I want to make sure we highlight, is they're not promises from God, right? They're not promises. They're sayings that they're a cross-section of truth. In some regards, it's saying this is the pattern for those who follow God. Anything else distinctive about the way we're to interpret the Proverbs that you can think of?
Yeah, I think looking at them in that some of them are just one verse and some of them are connected verse. So even understanding the context, like you'll get into some of the verses that will get on the topic of such as adultery. And you want to look at the section that it's referring to really understand where it is leading. I think that's important. I think understanding the pictures in scripture how they're taking truth and helping us understand it, that's not always just super clear to us. You have to understand some of those, the way scripture is used, that genre. Wisdom literature is a certain type of genre that should be interpreted with taking all those into consideration.
Let's take a look at some. Let's take a look at a few, because I think this will be fun for us to think about and also helpful. So let's start with Proverbs 14:16. And here's what the proverb says. It says, "One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless." One who is wise is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is reckless and careless. What do you make of that proverb? What do you think it's turning our attention to? Like, what context is that supposed to be used in? Of course, many, but what would you say?
Yeah, I think stepping back, one part of this is what the Proverbs does a lot. It compares the wise man to the fool.
That's right.
And it's talking about how the wise is living in the first part of the verse and then how the fool is living in the second part. And there's that comparison going on there. I think when you think about it just on a surface level, one who is wise and is cautious, it turns away from evil, it's careful, it's thinking about the choices they're making, it's thinking about their life. Yeah. And taking into consideration that God is in your life rather than the fool who is just living for self, just living and not thinking or caring. It's a careless life. It's just living for self. So one has a God-centered motivation. One has a self-centered motivation, I would say.
And to me, when I read this, I made a note next to it. I remember, and it had to do with, I thought this is really applicable to temptation and how we deal with temptation. Because I was thinking the wise person turns away from evil. It reminds me of earlier in the Proverbs, the wise man doesn't walk down the path of the harlot.
Yep.
He goes around, he goes a whole different street. You know, he knows where the temptation is and he's going to avoid it. He turns away from evil. He doesn't try to push the envelope or go to the edge, right? The fool is reckless. I have that. You were talking about pictures and images that come to mind when we're reading the Proverbs. Yeah. You know, I have that daredevil who's kind of riding right on the edge of the cliff, right? He's reckless, careless. Oh yeah, he might get a little bit of a high by doing that, but he also may fall down the cliff and die. We don't want to put ourselves there. Right? The wise one is cautious and turns away from evil because he sees the the destruction that evil causes, right? So this is you know, so applicable to us, and I see that in so many of our church people's lives. I see it in my life. When I don't flee evil, when I don't turn away from evil, when I'm being, and let's just call it what it is, when I'm being reckless and careless, I'm a fool. And the chances of me falling are far greater.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what jumped out at me. Anything else in that proverb?
I was thinking of a picture that Paul Tripp would say when he would talk about living in purity. And you think, go back to Joseph and Potiphar's wife, how he had to run away from her. That's right. You know, and run away from temptation, as you were talking about that, even in turning away from evil. He said, if you want to live pure in this world, you're going to be doing a lot of running.
That's a good point. True. Well, let's turn our attention to a different proverb here.
Yes.
And this one, I think that first one was pretty applicable to all of us. But I think this one may be more applicable right now in the way what we're seeing around us than ever. And that's Proverbs 15:1. And it says this: a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. I'm gonna try it a little differently for today's language. A soft tweet turns away wrath. But a harsh comment on Facebook stirs up anger. I don't know. You think that's applicable today?
I think that's what makes things go viral, is the fact that they're not seeing this and applying this this verse. But this is one of my favorite ones for counseling couples in marriage.
Good.
Because when you are close to another person, and you're tempted to use your words recklessly, it's the obvious truth of what happens to sinful, broken people.
That's right.
One person says something, you look at kids do it, and adults do it too. Yep. You say something to me, and I say it stronger, and what happens? It just gets heated. But what happens when you're in an argument with somebody, and you calm it down by a soft answer, and you don't go down to that level? You start to disarm the other person. In an argument, you That's right. disarm them by gently saying what you need to say without attack or angry words. So I love this proverb. I use it all the time.
Oh, it's such an important one. I was thinking about this. It really challenges you to think about what your goal is in relationships and interaction.
Mm.
If your goal is to win an argument, if your goal is to look bigger and better than the person that you're talking to, fine. Find whatever rhetorical skill or rhetorical tactic you can, you know, speak harshly, yell louder, you know, fine. That's not the goal of the Christian.
Yeah.
Our goal is not to be bigger, better, and have win the argument. Our goal is to show the love of God. Our goal is to speak truth in love. And so when we're interacting in relationship, we've got to think that a soft answer, a humble answer. When I think of soft, mm-hmm. I think of a humble answer. It's not one that's entitled or assumes or presumes. And I see that today, right now, there's so many different opinions on the pandemic.
Yeah.
So many different. And what's happening, I noticed, even if you ask a question on Facebook or other medium, that people react mm-hmm. harshly, quickly, because they're assuming that even your question is actually making a point, because we've stopped caring about discourse and discussions, and it was such a polarized world. We Christians should lead the way by Proverbs 15:1.
Yeah.
I don't think we're doing it quite well, you know, very well yet, but yeah. Any other thoughts on this? Yeah.
Yeah. It just popped in my mind thinking about how we're even talking about Proverbs, because they're really talking about our responses. of how to live in this world. And if we think about all of the Proverbs, these are exemplified in Christ. You know, these are ideals that we could never perfectly live out. And it's only because of our trusting in Christ and the gospel and the implication of the gospel that he can transform our hearts to respond in this way. And when we're living in the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, that those are the times where we can give a soft answer. In our own flesh, we cannot respond in this way. We can only respond when we're Spirit controlled to look at the other person and say, this other person who is also a fellow sinner, I can respond to in a way that is different than my natural flesh would respond. And that's where the Proverbs become really activated. Unless you connect it back to the gospel and how we are to live walking with the Spirit, these can all turn into just moral ways of living that even an unbeliever could live. And that's not what we want. We want heart change that says, I want to give a soft answer because I see something or something has changed in me, not just because I want to avoid this argument. It's for the sake of another person. And that's a heart change. So I think these Proverbs also are just like, they pinpoint what's wrong inside of all of us at a certain point in time.
Yeah, very well put. And so important, because honestly, what you basically just said is if we take Proverbs as law, we're going to fail and they're not going to be productive. They're going to be more about us than about the one that we're relating to. But if we understand them via the gospel, through the lens of the gospel, we can live them out by the strength that the Spirit gives in love. Good. That's just helpful in general to think about. Let's push on. Let's look at Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. I'm just going to give up here. Why don't you take that one? I mean, how accurate a description of our humanity. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes. We never really do wrong. Even when we admit wrong, we try to justify ourselves and we may justify ourselves to ourselves, you know, in our own eyes. But the Lord's not looking at that.
Yeah.
He's looking at the Spirit. What do you make of this one?
Yeah, I connect that to the other proverb of Proverbs 28:26. That he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. You know, thinking all our ways are pure is in a sense trusting in our own heart,
right?
And thinking that we are in the right. I think this comes out the most when somebody's telling a story to us and they tell us how this person has wronged them, all of they've done to them, they've been so kind and so loving and gentle, and this person has just wronged them in all their ways. It goes back to the other proverb of he who states his case first seems right until another comes and proves it wrong. Is that we always think that about ourselves, and none of us are suspect to begin with. We're right, we're pure, we didn't do anything wrong, we don't want to admit that. Yep. And then it slowly gets exposed, but the Lord really knows what happened. And I always think, you know, and I try to think this about myself, maybe too late in the game, is what part have I played? I need to own up to my own sin, even if I'm 1% wrong. I had this quote from, I think it's Ken Sandy. He said, even if you're 1% wrong in something that happened between you and another person, you're 100% responsible for your response. If we're not thinking that, we're thinking we're pure, and that's just pride, and that does not lead anywhere good in our lives of we're right. I mean, if we're being sanctified, how could we think that we have no wrong in our heart, that we can't have wrong motives?
Yeah. If there's still sanctification to be had, then we're admitting by virtue of that we're not perfectly pure in our own living and whatnot. And I like the way you described, I think you said Sandy's quote or description of that even if you're 1% wrong, you're 100% responsible for that 1% and for your response to what's going on, which I try to explain to my children, for instance, and the response often is, so we'll say, okay, so, hey, what was your part in this? What could you have done differently? Why are you saying it's all my fault? Well, no, I'm not saying it's all your fault. And I think that adults feel that way too. I had a conversation recently, two brothers in Christ in a conflict. And when I was trying to help each one of them on their own think about their role, each of them was responding, so are you saying it's my fault then? This isn't about fault. This is about growing in our walk with the Lord. It's about that process of the gospel changing our hearts, like you were saying. I like that you related it to the Proverbs 28:26. This whole idea of he trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely, and what does walking wisely mean? It's walking according to God's ways, will be delivered. And trusting, you know, not trusting the one who trusts the Lord in his heart. That's the one. Yeah, there's so much to delve into. Let's do one more here. You alluded to it already, or you actually mentioned it already. So look at Proverbs 18:17. This is another one in this political climate that's important. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you where this has shown itself recently to me. You know how many videos keep coming out about all these different police interactions with people? Mm. So you got all these people showing short clips of videos of someone being beaten and hurt. And it doesn't, I'm not justifying anything that is ungodly or unrighteous, but so often another video will come out that will give a different take, a different picture, a different story. We have to be careful. I fall into this trap all the time, even when I try to be careful. We listen to one person and we make a judgment initially already. But the Proverbs say, hey, look, don't just take the first person's case. Wait until someone who comes and examine that person's case. Take other witnesses. Why is scripture so big in the Old Testament about having two or three witnesses?
Yeah.
Because we need more than that one person's take to make sure that we're being just and fair. What context do you think of this proverb in?
I think of it more in relationships. When you have arguments between couples, you know, that's where it becomes really obvious. He's done all this to me or she's done this to me and look how she's treated me. And then you talk to the other person and she's like, can I tell my side of the story of all he's done? And you're like, oh, you kind of withheld that information. You didn't want to incriminate yourself of your part of it, because again, we justify ourselves in our own eyes. We don't want to admit the fault. We want to blame shift. We go back to our parents, you know, Adam and Eve, let's blame shift. And it's continued on and the human race has not ended. And we just think we're in the right. Even if we've wronged somebody, we'll justify it. Well, their wrong is more than my wrong, so my response is therefore okay. And we justify our sinful responses. This is such applicable to so many realms of life.
Yeah, it's so interesting. In all the marital counseling that I've done, or even premarital counseling that I've done, it is almost always the case that the person who's telling me their side is leaving out some significantly valuable information, you know, and it's like, so you'll turn around, you'll talk to the other spouse and they'll say, well, here's, you know, did he tell you this or did she tell you that? And you're like, oh no, she didn't or he didn't. We like to leave out. That's why it's so important to get all sides, as much information as we can before we make any kind of a judgment in any situation. Look, there it is. There's a lot of Proverbs, a lot that we can think about. I hope that this gave a little taste of why the Proverbs are so valuable to those that are listening. And I hope that they'll delve in themselves and study the Proverbs all the more. Roger, something to take away, something to think about some more?
Yeah, I think just going through the Proverbs and really seeing how it applies to different scenarios in our life and really taking them seriously, that this is God's word to help us to live wisely in a world that is foolish and broken and sinful in many different ways.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I love the way, and this is, again, what's always encouraged me about your approach to things. Number one, you keep bringing it back to relationships, which I think is so important. And so that I want to take that home with me. And also, you're able to see the connection with many different Proverbs kind of building on one another. And so spending time in the book of Proverbs will begin to do that in us. We'll start to make the connection and see how so many of these are applicable to different aspects of the same interactions. And we'll grow in our Christ-likeness as the Spirit, as you said very clearly to us, the Spirit's the one doing the work in us. Mm-hmm. This is not the law from outside. It's the Spirit from inside, because we've been born again in the gospel or by the gospel. So I'm going to take that with me. Again, hope that you've enjoyed this episode, and hope that you'll join us again next time. If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodnstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.